Welcome to the Becoming Whole podcast, where we help men, women, and families learn and live God's good, holy, and beautiful design for sexuality. I'm your host, Josh Glazer, and we're glad you're here. You ready? Let's dive in.
Hey, everybody. Hey, just a quick intro. I know you just listened to the intro, but listen to this intro too. The rest of the podcast recording that I did for today, I forgot to plug in the podcast mic. So the audio is not as great as we'd like it to be. But the message I share today is really important. So I hope that you'll bear through the audio and give it a listen. So many of us spend so much of our recovery work trying not to do certain behaviors. We don't want to stop looking at pornography. We don't want to have sex with our girlfriend or boyfriend because we're not married yet. We want to stop looking at this person that way. We want to stop. Whatever it is, we want to stop, right? We want to get rid of certain behaviors. But I think there's something intrinsically unhelpful about that perspective and that approach. It makes sense. You know, there's no shame in it. But what's intrinsically problematic about it is that trying to stop a certain kind of behavior, trying to stop the sinful things you're doing, doesn't give you a trajectory, doesn't give you a place to aim your attention, doesn't give you a goal to move toward. Maybe it does a little bit, like you're moving away from, you know, my goal is to be abstinent from sexual sin. But that's not as powerful. It's just not as meaningful. There's not as much vision in it. There's not as much like essence to it as having a vision of what you want to move toward. And I've said other times in this podcast, I want to say it again in this podcast, that a better goal than stopping your lust, a better goal than stopping your unwanted sexual behavior is learning to love, learning to love. And what I specifically mean by that is learning to live a life that is a life of self-giving. One of the things that the late John Paul II taught about theology of the body is that the body is actually designed to image, to speak a story about what God is like. And God is love. God is self-giving. It is in his nature to be that way. And he has designed us to be that way. This is why in Acts, the writer of Acts records that Jesus had said at some point in his ministry, which is interesting because you don't find it in the Gospels, but in Acts, somebody who had heard Jesus say it said that the Lord said it is better to give than to receive. There's something in us that is wired to give. And if you think about all of our unwanted sexual behavior, it's the exact opposite of that. Our unwanted sexual behavior, our lust, whatever in whatever shape or form it's taking, our lust is about giving us pleasure. The focus is me. And so if I'm just trying to stop that, then what I'm doing is my vision is to stop giving myself pleasure. That's not a very motivating goal, is it? But if instead my goal is I want to learn to be a person who is like Jesus, who can love in a way that is self-sacrificing, self-donating, self-giving, now I can start having a vision for who I want to become that is more powerful than just this kind of vacuum or void of stopping my unwanted sexual behavior. Now, with that said, the first step in becoming a person who loves more like Jesus is a counterintuitive step. A first step in becoming a person who is self-donating, self-sacrificing, self-giving is a counterintuitive step. And it is this. We need to first be loved by God. And we need to be loved by God, maybe especially in those places where we feel least lovable, least like we deserve his love. Because those are the places that most need a God who is love, a God who is self-giving, a God who is self-sacrificing, a God who is self-donating. Those are the places in us that least deserve it, least expect it, least anticipate it, and most need it. One of my favorite teachers and authors is Andrew Comiskey, who is the founder and president of Desert Stream Ministries. And he puts it this way. He says, mercy is like water. It flows to the lowest place. So if you think about the places in you that are lowest, the places in you that most need, the places in you that have least to give to God, the places in you that are the most corrupt, most depraved, most shameful, those are the lowest places. And those places need to be opened to receive God. And his mercy flows to those lowest places. It's what he is drawn to.
Hey, everybody. Do me two big favors, would you? First of all, if there's a topic you'd like me to be talking about on this podcast, shoot me an email at podcast@regenerationministries.org. Secondly, would you rate and review this podcast by going to regenerationministries.org/rate? When you leave a 5-star review, it actually helps other people find the show. Thanks so much. Now back to it.
Paul writes in Romans that where our sin increased, his grace increased all the more. So to put it in this other way of phrasing it, where our sin is lowest, where our sin is the worst, his grace flows to those places. His grace is for those places. So seek to become a person who loves, not just a person who doesn't lust in whatever form that takes for you, but a person who loves with self-giving love. And seek to become a person who loves with self-giving love by opening yourself to God's love, especially in those places where you need him most because you deserve him least. So what are some ways that you can open yourself to God's love, especially in those places where you feel like you deserve him the least? I want to offer you just a quick few ideas. One is this. Consider for yourself how not receiving his love, not receiving his mercy, not receiving his forgiveness in that place has not worked for you. And I start with that because I've talked to so many people over the years who don't experience his love, who have a hard time receiving his love. I am one of them. Especially as I was seeking to overcome sexual sin in my life, it was just so hard for me. It was counterintuitive. It felt presumptuous. It felt wrong to receive God's mercy in places where I felt like I knew better and I kept doing it anyway. It just felt so wrong. My instinct was to kind of, not purposefully, but somehow inside, just kind of close off, like say, I don't deserve it, Lord, I don't deserve it. Kind of hold him at bay. Almost in some ways trying to earn his grace, almost in some ways trying to convince him that I was sorry enough. And I'm not saying that being sorry is wrong. I'm just saying that there was something in me that kind of pushed his grace, his unmerited favor, his love that I didn't deserve away in a kind of to try to convince him that, you know, I am worthy. See, I'm not even taking what you're giving. That's not helpful. So I start with that idea of consider how that works for you. It didn't work for me. I actually needed his love in those places, and you do too. I needed his mercy where I least deserve it, and you do too. Forgiveness, by definition, cannot be earned. If it could be, it wouldn't be forgiveness, right? By definition, forgiveness cannot be earned. So that's thing number one. Thing number two, to receive God's love where you need him most and deserve it least, is to ask somebody else for their help in that place. And maybe it just begins with asking for their prayers that you would be able to receive God's love in that place. There's something about encountering the love of Christ in the presence of one of his people that seems to make it more real for us. And this fits perfectly with what Christianity is, really, because Christianity teaches, unlike any other religion, teaches that God, who is spirit, became flesh for us. The fourth century writer and saint Athanasius wrote, in fact, that part of the reason that God became flesh was because we had turned away from him and turned our attention and become absorbed in the material world. That's what we were worshiping. And so God, in his grace, became material. He became matter for us in the person of Jesus Christ, became for us flesh, that we could behold him, so we'd be seen where he is. And so in a similar way, then, now his body, the church, can be in flesh, can be visible for us here, and we can experience something of his actual love for us in the face of another as they listen to our sorrow, as they feel with us, as they lay a hand on us, as they give us a hug, as they pray, as they cry with us. Some of the most moving moments for me was as I was sharing about sexual sin with people who felt authentic sorrow with me for the things that I'd done. Not sorrow that I'd done those things, like, you know, oh, Josh, you're terrible, but rather like, I can see how much what you're doing is hurting you, and I feel for you. That kind of blew me away. I had a roommate in college who was like that. So find someone else who can be with you and who you can open up those places to, even if it's simply for prayer. Pray with me. Would you pray for me that I would be able to receive God's grace in those places that I need him most and deserve him least and have the hardest time receiving his love? Last thing, I would encourage you to use your imagination. I'm not saying that you pretend. I'm not saying you create a fiction. That's what we do with our sexual sin. And honestly, it's one of the reasons that we run to sexual sin, because we've created a fiction in our minds that speak to some of those lowest places in us and give us a false sense of love in those places. But what I am saying is use your imagination, open your mind, open your imagination, open that creative inner part of you to behold God loving you. So take a passage in scripture, John 3:16, well-known passage, right? This is Jesus talking to Nicodemus at night, saying, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." And put your name in there and put yourself in that scene. Imagine yourself at the cross. "For God so loved Josh that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, that if Josh would believe in him, God would give him everlasting life." And imagine God giving his son. Imagine yourself at the cross. Another famous passage, maybe that Jesus' best known parable, is the parable of the prodigal son. Put yourself in that story. Imagine yourself in that story. Again, this is not creating a fiction. It's aligning your mind, your imagination, your sense, your inner feelings with what is true and what God has said is true. And the reason I recommend this is because of what I said a minute ago, that lust creates a fiction of some type of sexual, I don't know, unreality, you know, that it doesn't exist, but we absorb ourselves in it because we're looking for something. What are we looking for? We're really looking for God. All right, so recap. Instead of making your primary focus to stop your unwanted sexual behavior, as important as that is, as good a goal as that is, shift your focus to make your primary goal to be someone who loves like God loves, self-giving love. And in order to do that, the first step, the most important step, when I say first step, really, it's the primary step, it's the foundation. And it is always something that you'll need to do. It's not like you do this and then you move on. But in order to love like God, we love because he first loves us, right? The scriptures say. So our first step, our most fundamental step, is to open ourselves, especially in the areas where we feel like we need him least, to God's love for us. So Lord, would you help us open ourselves to you? I know I need your love, Lord. I do not love like you without your love. So help me open my love, myself, to be loved by you, that I might love like you and leave all my lustful ideas, thoughts, behaviors behind. Lord, I pray this for myself and all those listening. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for listening in. If you find the content of this podcast helpful, make sure to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. That helps other people find the show. And if you'd like to check out more resources to help you in your journey towards becoming more whole, go to regenerationministries.org. Again, I'm Josh Glazer, and we'll see you next time.